Karen Ann Stott, formerly Christensen, and I'm currently 40 for 2 more weeks.
Excellent. All right, so the first question is, what kind of student were you in high school? Were you a jock? Were you a nerd? Were you a straight-A student? Were you a stoner? What did you do in high school?
I guess I would explain myself as a bit of a jock. I played a lot of sports. I don't know, what would the female version of that be? I was into a lot of sports. I was a tomboy. And I basically just had friends throughout all of the different crowds. I kind of just inserted myself along with everyone because I just really enjoyed people.
Did you have a good high school experience?
Yes.
So tell me a story. James was telling me that you dated Ryan Dunn in high school. Is that true?
Thanks, James. Yes, I did.
For the record, that's kind of the point of this podcast, was to get everybody to tell everybody stories so we can get to know everybody. So James was quick to sell you out.
To throw me under the bus?
Well, to be fair, I mean, I think he threw a lot of people under the bus. It wasn't just you.
No, that doesn't surprise me. No, that's all good. Yeah, I did. Sorry, Mom and Dad. I was 13, 14 when I was dating Ryan, and Ryan was 17, 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So thanks, James.
So your parents didn't know?
They just thought we were friends. Oh. And yeah, so that was I don't know how to love this, making me blush. Yeah, he's kind of the first guy that paid attention to me more so than friends. And yep.
Was he a good influence on you or a bad influence?
It's a good question. I don't know. He was nice to me. It definitely set me on an interesting path through my life. And I didn't really date much after him for years.
So were you a freshman and like he was a senior?
I think he was. Yeah, I think he was still a senior for a few when we first started dating. But yeah, so he was actually best friends with my best friend's older brother. And so we all went snowboarding one winter. And that's kind of how we met. But yeah, he wasn't a bad influence. Just kind of was what it was. All those boys, like I knew a lot of those boys through Aaron as well, like Chris Rabb and stuff like that. And Chris Rabb ended up going to my college, which was quite cool and quite bizarre, because knowing all of those boys as just people, when everyone else saw them as superstars, I guess, maybe not superstars, but famous people. And so it was interesting to see how people reacted to all of these guys that I knew since a kid and just treated them so much differently. And it was quite, it was quite interesting to see. But, and kind of be on the sidelines of that experience growing up.
So is that kind of surreal when that whole thing, when Jackass blows up and they become kind of big stars and you're like, wait a minute, I knew that guy before?
Yeah. And it was interesting to kind of grasp how, like, I didn't tell people because I didn't want people to, like, it wasn't my story, and I didn't want people to use that to my advantage of like, hey, I'm cool, I know these people. Like, I hardly ever told people those stories, so. It's quite interesting.
Question number two, what was the most trouble / mischief you got into as a kid? Do you ever take your parents' car or write on the walls or anything like that?
Oh my god, Mom and Dad are gonna listen to this, hey?
It was you're 40 now. It's so far in the past, they won't care.
I know. I wasn't much to like go out and get in trouble. But I did, there was two times, and one time, sorry, Mom and Dad, I actually was, I don't know, I was driving age, and it's when we had the Jeep with the soft top, and my parents said, look, you're not going out tonight, because we had off on the Friday and they still had work and stuff. And they're like, no, you don't need to go out on a Thursday night. And I decided to go anyway. So what I did is I locked my bedroom door, and the outside, we had a two-story house, and the outside in front of my room was like a fake rock wall, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so I scaled down that rock wall, and I went to my friend's party anyway. And of course, that night, someone came around and they slashed the Jeep's soft top and just threw everything that was in the Jeep just all down the street. It was probably a bunch of kids, because there was a lot of cars that just, you know, things happened to. So I had to come clean to my parents about that.
You think you would have got away with it if the Jeep didn't get cut?
Yeah. Yeah, so I was so nervous sneaking out. I put a letter on my floor, because this was in the days where we didn't have cell phones and stuff. So I put a letter on my floor saying where I was and the number and everything.
So you
just in case I did.
So you were responsible in your sneaking out?
Yes. I remember telling Amy about this like years later, and she's like, why didn't you just go out the front, like the back door? We all used to just sneak out the back door.
You made meanwhile, it way more like, complicated than it needed to be.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like scaling my house to get out. And I only snuck out one other time, and it was before I was driving. And that actually scared the crap out of me. So I never did it. Well, I did the one time after that, but it kind of tarnished how I felt about sneaking out, because we had a commercial kind of area next to our house. So I was going to a friend's house, but I had to go through that commercial area. And it wasn't even that late, I don't think. It was just dark. And I was like, however young, probably like 13, maybe younger. So I'm sneaking out and going through this big industrial area, and a car drove by, and I like ran, and I hid behind some bushes. And I swear the guy saw me, and like, it just really freaked me out, because it all of a sudden became real what I was doing and what situation I was putting myself in, even though I was just going to a friend's house, that mom and dad probably said, no, you don't need to be going to your friend's house or whatever. So that's pretty much the two times that I can remember that I've snuck out. But
it sounds like you had like major anxiety for both times.
Yes. Yeah. So
it was hard on you. It didn't come natural. Not like after talking to James, it sounded like it was like, just, that's just what he did on a Tuesday.
Oh God. Yeah. And James is so social. It's like, that's his outlet. You can't keep him away from being social. So, And I'm sure Amy told you every story about how, like, every time she did, she probably only did four things bad in her life, and she got caught at each
James,
time.
James was quick to throw her under the bus. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I had street sense. Because I did get into some trouble, but yeah. But poor Amy. Yeah.
So how old are your kids now?
Birdie's 9, and Asher is turning 7 next month.
So they're old enough to have gotten in a little bit of trouble or mischief. Have your kids done anything story worthy?
I'm sure. I mean, Asher's such a little fiery redhead. But they're pretty good kids. Nothing comes to the top of the mind. Like, yeah.
Okay. That's all right. Give them time.
Yeah. Well, they quite nervous once they're a little bit older, only because I think Brody will want to appease her friends and whatnot. And I feel like Asher might be more of a James and, you know, be the creator of trouble.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
That's a really good question. I think a lot of people think I'm an extrovert, but I am very much love my own space and my own time. And I'm very introverted until I'm comfortable with the people that I know. And then I can be very extroverted, or when I'm uncomfortable, I can be extroverted, but it's really just a cover for my introvertedness. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's how I feel like I am. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I think I kind of agree. I think I'm the same way. Let's see. What was your favorite memory of your parents from when you were a kid? Did you have like a favorite tradition or a favorite meal or something you guys always used to do together that stands out?
Yeah, definitely dinner time. I know it seems so like such a little thing, but it was always really loud and we were always, I mean, no surprise there, but we were always around the table and it was consistent every night. And we talked about our days and we laughed and we joked with each other. And
so how many years are there between you and James?
Oh my goodness. James, Amy's 4 years, I believe. So James must be 6 years.
Okay. So you guys are close enough in age that you were close with it. Like we were talking, like George Barrett was basically out of the house essentially before Mark was old enough to even really remember him. But you definitely remember James. Cause I mean, he was, you're not that far apart. Okay. Okay. So you guys, for most of your teenage years, there was four kids in the house.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yes. James probably left when I was about 13 or 14.
Okay.
But yeah, I still remember, like, I still have lots of memories. I used to hang out with Aaron, was my best friend, because we used to move every 2 years. I don't know what he told you or Dana told you for him, but he was my best friend. And he was my consistent. So no matter if we were leaving in 2 years' time, which we did up until I was, I don't know, 9 or something, it didn't really affect me, and I'm going to say Aaron, because we always had each other. And we were always, like, I don't know if Mom and Dad did this on purpose, but we always lived very near a wooded area. So Aaron and I were just always in the woods, or when we lived in California, we had this big valley next to us. And I don't know if Mom knew that we were constantly gone in, like, really kind of not dangerous situations, but like, I think nowadays I wouldn't let my girls, like, we live next to the woods. They're still not allowed to go in the woods far by themselves yet. Right. And stuff was different back then. But yeah, we were always off in the woods, hanging out, whatever. And so I think that moving, sorry, I'm going into two different stories, but I think that moving played a big toll on on James and Amy, because they were that little bit more older and more extroverted and had lots of friends, and 2 years was enough time to really form those bonds, where I remember vividly, like, saying bye to my friends every 2 years and just being like, see ya, and couldn't understand why they were crying. Yeah, and like, I just didn't get it, because it was so normalized for me in my life, and I still had my best friend, who was Aaron. So yeah. It was
so you guys got into a lot of adventures in the forest, you and Aaron?
Yeah. Like, we used to go miles, especially in California, because you could go in the drainage systems, and we would go for miles. And as long as we were back by dark, it was fine. And I think the biggest, like, memories that really stick out from being a child would be, obviously, the moving, but then also with that, Aaron would hurt himself at least, it seemed like, once a year really bad. And so those are ingrained in my head, because I was always hanging out with Aaron. And yeah, like, I would, he one year, did he tell you the story about falling off the banister?
No, because Aaron wouldn't talk to me. I only got everything secondhand through Dana, so she did her best, but she doesn't have the inside scoop. So tell us the Aaron falling off the banister story.
Okay, so it was before we were in school. So I don't know, Mom would probably know how young we were. But James used to, in this particular house, we had a banister that went straight from the second floor down to the first floor. And James used to always slide down it. And so Aaron wasn't quite tall enough to do so. But I remember this day we were playing with, like, you know, the golden books with the gold edge. We were playing with our books, and I think we were like playing hopscotch, making a big pot of some kind of pasta, probably macaroni and cheese, in the kitchen. And she called us down for lunch, and Aaron raced to the top of the stairs, and my internet connection's unstable, so just let me know if I start breaking up. And he goes to hop up, but because his little legs weren't big enough, he had to kind of hoist himself up onto the railing, and he went straight over onto the tiles and just split his chin open. Blood, it was a hallway, so blood went everywhere. So there was that time. Aaron's kind of like gone through probably 12 of his 9 lives. But yeah, he's broken everything. He's, you know, accidentally slit his wrist like the correct way and everything. And I just vividly remember always staying by his side, but never getting the help, which is interesting. I look back as an adult and going, why didn't I? There was always someone else that ran off to get Mom or whoever was close. But yeah, I never said, I don't even know if I comforted him. I just wouldn't leave his side kind of thing.
Oh, that's all that matters.
Yeah, so that's big in my head. But those family dinners were like as simple as they sound. That's what I really did cherish a lot.
Do you do that with your family? Because I find I do that in my family. Like, it's dinner time. Like, we're all going to sit down. Like, I don't care if you're not hungry. Just like sit at this table for like a half an hour, and like we can talk and make stupid jokes because I don't see you otherwise, right?
We are very much the same, and it's a cherished tradition, which probably is going to get annoying to our kids when they're teenagers, but...
Oh, it's definitely annoying to my kids, but it doesn't make me want to do it any less.
Yeah, and, like, when they're older, they're going to cherish it, you know? Oh, and, or we hope so, anyway.
So you brought up a good story about exploring the woods. So Ryan had a very, very similar story about how him and a neighborhood kid and then later Joel would go out in the woods, and he talks about going through the drainage system and a couple times getting lost or almost killed or whatever. And he said the same thing you did. Like, it was great, but like looking back on it, like, it was crazy dangerous. And he said the same thing. I would never let my kids do that.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you reconcile those two? Like, I had this amazing childhood of exploring the woods, and I'm not letting my kids out of my sight kind of thing.
Yeah, I struggle with it, I'm not gonna lie, because I love where we are now. We literally have a waterfall that's like down a steep hill behind our house, and we have two streams that cut through, so we go down, there's some swimming holes and everything, so we kind of spend the whole summer, like, especially me and the kids spend the whole summer kind of doing our adventures. But I know at some point they're going to want to go off on their own, and I don't know how I reconcile it yet. It is, because it was such an amazing, like, you learn so much when you're a kid, but then you're also in this potentially dangerous environment where you're very secluded, and yeah, because there was times
still young too. You know, my kid's 12, and he just asked us, like, this like 2 weeks ago. He literally said, "Dad, some of my friends are going to meet at the park. Can I ride my bike down to the park?" You know, like at night at like 6 o'clock. And you know, my wife and I kind of looked at each other, like, "Yeah, I guess, you know, you're 12. You know, we know where you." Yeah, but yeah, it's tough. Like, it's hard to be, you know, because there's a lot of scary things out there. You don't know, right? So
yeah.
Your kids are still young. Give it time. They have plenty of time.
Yeah. And it is hard, because there's, I know that at some point in time, like you guys, you're going to be like, okay, well, you're 12. I've got to let, you know, the lead out and let you kind of out into the world to learn. And it's because I don't want to shelter them from all these things. But at the same time, I've been down at the stream with them when I was up, you know, more towards my garden, but I could see them and hear them. And I heard a man try to talk to the girls, but the girls thought I was talking to them. Hardy goes, "What'd you say, Mom?" And I was like, "Oh no, that wasn't me." And I looked up and the guy hurried off. I'm like, "Oh, this is exactly why."
Right.
You know, and we've got a story, like, thank God Amy was with us, and stop me if she told you this story, but we were in California again, and we were coming back, God knows where, and we were walking on the sidewalk, and a car slowed down and pulled next to us, and he rolled down the window, and he said, "Kids, get in the car, do you want some candy?" And Amy just turned and looked at us, and she goes, "Run!" And we were little, and it was the three of us, and wow. We just started booking home. And we were in our neighborhood, so, you know, we felt safe.
Right.
But we booked it. It was broad daylight. We booked
How old were
home.
You?
Oh, we would have been young, like so young. I might have been 6 or 7.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like looking back on it, I'm sure. Yeah.
And wow. I wonder, which is crazy, but I wonder if Amy wasn't with us because Aaron and I loved candy.
Oh, no.
I wonder, like, if it was a godsend that Amy was with us, because there was so much time there where it was just Aaron and I hanging out. Because Amy was that little bit older and wanted to do her own thing, you know, which is fine. But we were lucky that day that Amy was with us, because it could have been different. But
do you have a favorite family vacation you took as a kid?
That's a good question. I guess the main one, we used to go, I'm trying to dig deeper than this. All that comes to mind is we used to go down to the beach in summer times for a week. And that was quite fun. And we would get into some, you know, innocent trouble down there. But yeah, I think that's probably it. Just down to the beach.
What was your first job after high school? What was your first, like, non-fast food job?
Does ice cream work? So we're talking like after high school.
Yeah.
What would it be? Because I managed 2 ice cream stores while I was in high school.
Ooh, tell that. How do you, you're a manager in high school?
Yeah. I don't know how. I looked like I was 9 years old up until I was like 30. Like, I went from looking like I was 9 years old up until just like recently, and then I just look old. So I worked down at the beach every summer. I worked for Dickie's Frozen Custard, and it was an ice cream store. Loved it. We had 2 shops down on the sea, like basically on the seafront. But I started working there when I was legal age to work. And by the time I was 15, I was managing both the places.
15? Wow.
Yeah. And I was assistant manager at 14. I really enjoyed it. And I just found it, I don't want to say easy, but I just found it like second nature to be able to deal with people.
Did the other employees have a hard time taking orders from a 15-year-old?
No, because I found the easiest way was to, we were all pretty much the same age. But our old manager was moving on, and he was an older, like, well, at the time old, like he was probably, I don't know, Gabe was probably like 25, 30, whatever. But everyone respected me because I was always the one to work the hardest and kind of, gain everyone's appreciation and kind of get, you know, not get people to do what was needed, but we worked as a team, and it was more of a team effort. And I was just able to steer everyone that way. And they were good summers because we would just have fun in the shops. We'd get done what we needed. And we were like, it was one of the busiest ice cream stores. Like, we had lines down to the corner, but we would have good laughs and have good times with it. So yeah, I think I don't know. It was just second nature for me, I guess.
Where do you think you got your good work ethic? At 15, I don't know a lot of 15-year-olds that have good work ethic. So where does that come from?
Dad.
Yeah.
And mom. Yeah. Both of them. Like, I think they both instilled in us that they always gave us what we needed. And it was like, right, well, you have to go out and work for it. And yeah, I think all of us did really well with that, except for James. Because James was the type of kid that wanted every he was so into every fad and really wanted, you know, every new, whatever was new. Yes. And not in a bad way. He just really, and that's like, and he works his ass off to have everything that's new now, you know?
I was gonna say, he's still kind of that way, right?
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But as long as you want to work for it and you don't just think that the world owes you these things.
Right.
But yeah, so I think he's probably the only one that struggled with that. Whereas the rest of us kind of just worked hard for the things we wanted. And yeah.
There was a post on Reddit, I think it was last Father's Day, and somebody wrote, you know, what did you learn from your father? And the implication was that whoever this guy was, he didn't have a father growing up. And so the question was, you know, more towards like, what did I miss out on growing up? And by and large, like 90% of the answers were work ethic. And I thought about it for a second, and I'm like, you know what? That's probably what I took away from my dad too. A really important skill to learn, and it's hard to learn on your own. So
yes,
yeah, I get it. So
especially these days too. And I learned from mom. She was always busy, and like I joked with her about always watching like soap operas and stuff. But the only time she actually sat down is when she was doing laundry.
Sure.
And that's to treat herself to the soap opera. But I learned from mom to never just watch when other people are working hard. And I don't know if mom told us that or it's just something I learned through watching her, but she never let other people work without her being, you know, helping or doing something, even if they didn't, you know, want the help, she'd just sit down and help, you know? And that's something that I really cherish as well.
Your mom is a crazy hard worker. I think I commented to Aunt Alex a couple, like at the family reunion, like we were in this big kind of like mess hall, essentially. We had a kitchen and, you know, everybody was serving themselves like buffet style. And then just sitting around talking. And I can't tell you how many times she came around and like took my plate like a waiter. And I'm like, I can take care of my own. Like, you don't have to do this. Like, but she was just going out of her way to like, you know, pick things up and wipe the tables down. And I'm like, I'll totally get that. Anyway, I there was several times she did that. And I went, wow, that's really dedicated. I mean, good for her. I mean, it was really nice, but she certainly didn't have to do that. So.
Yeah. It often is that we have to kind of yell at her to relax, but she's happy being productive. And like, I've had to tell Kieran, my husband, I've had to tell him like, that's her happy place. Like, he's like, when she comes over here, she needs to relax. She needs to take a holiday. And I'm like, yeah, but you understand that this is her and this is how she helps and feels like she's a part of everything.
Come over and like clean your house.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Cause my mom does the same thing. She'll come over to my house and she'll like organize things. And like, if there's like laundry sitting out, she'll like fold laundry in my living room. I'm like, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, some random weekend she comes and I'm like, why are you folding my laundry? Like, just sit down. Like, you don't have to like, kind of crazy.
Just relax.
Really. I can fold my own laundry. It's not a big deal. The kids can fold their own underwear.
Yeah.
So, your dad had 5 brothers and sisters.
Yes.
You have 3 brothers and sisters. So that's, you know, above the average, I would say. So when you got married and you decided you guys were going to have a family, did you want to have a big family like that? Or was that like overwhelming and you wanted to have a small family? Or did that just not factor into it at all?
Well, no, we talked about it. And both of us thought we wanted three kids. And kind of like you, after two kids, you know how you talk to your grandmother, I spoke to mom and I basically was like, I don't know how you did this.
Right.
Like, I actually don't know how you did this. And I just said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, I can't believe that I have a new appreciation for you now that I have my own children. And you had four and I had two. And right. I'm like, I just, you know, mind blown, right? So, and of course, mom's reply was, oh, you guys were so easy. I'm like, that's bull crap.
I asked your dad.
Oh, like, she just has rose-tinted eyes. Yeah.
I've been asking everybody the same questions, and I asked your dad what was the most trouble your kids got into. And I don't, if I remember right, he couldn't come up with anything, or he said something to the effect of, oh, my kids were great. Like he was not, one of two things happened. Either he didn't want to sell you guys out, or B, nothing stood out in his memory that was story worthy, which is more that I thought it lent more towards the second one, but who knows?
Yeah. The only one that I can remember is the cop showed up. Because Aaron and a couple of his friends were in a neighborhood over, and I can't remember. It was something silly that they did. If it was like, you know, hitting over mailboxes, so something dicky. Like, they shouldn't have been doing that.
Right.
And I'm pretty positive they did, even though Aaron said they didn't. But the cops came to our house. That's the only story that I could come up with that maybe mom and dad would remember. And I'll throw Aaron under the bus for that.
And that's just, I mean, that's silly, stupid teenager stuff, right? I mean, that's not even, like looking back, like that's not a huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably my worst was I got suspended or detention. I got internal suspension because my best friend at the time was not the best influence. And, she wrote herself a note to get out of gym class. And I loved gym class. Loved gym class. And I was like, oh, I kind of just want to hang out with Kirsten. I was like, can you write me a note too? And I had on James's, it was some kind of sweatshirt with our name on it for whatever sports or whatever it was from. But our last name was spelt wrong. And so my friend wrote me the letter. And sign my mom's name, but sign the last name wrong.
Oh, no.
And so I got called in on it, and I took the blame because I made her write the letter. And I remember the principal being like, and I was young. I think I was in like seventh grade or eighth grade.
Right.
The principal's like, how did you write your last name wrong? I was like, oh, no, I just did. And he's like, well, I don't believe you. And whoever wrote these two letters must have been the same person. I'm like, no, it was me. And I didn't back down from that. But that was probably the worst kind of, yeah. Like real trouble that they would know about that I got into.
Who's your parents' favorite child?
Oh, hold on. My internet went funny. Who's my favorite? What?
Who's your parents' favorite child?
Oh, that's easy. It's the golden child. That's Amy.
Oh, okay.
Everyone would say Amy.
James, what did, I'm trying to remember. You'll have to listen to it. But James said, was it your dad's favorite kid was him, but your mom's favorite kid was Amy? And then Amy agreed with him. I think maybe I might have it flipped. You'll have to listen. That was an interesting response.
Seriously.
The funny thing was when I asked all the siblings who the favorite kid was, nobody even hesitated. They all just immediately said your dad. Like they didn't even have to think about it. Like you had to think about it a little bit. Like I'd have to think about it. Like I was like, who's Frank's favorite kid? And they all like just, it was crazy. I was like, whoa.
So Frank's favorite kid was dad, my dad.
Yes.
Yeah. And that doesn't surprise me.
You'll have to listen to some of the interviews. They have different reasons why they were all pretty well thought out. It was just funny that, you know, there was no, I figured that would be like a contentious question. Like people would argue, but no, everybody was like George, definitely George.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Let's see. Where did you meet your significant other?
In Byron Bay, Australia.
Where, like, what were you doing?
Oh, I was at work, and his sister, I worked in a factory that made minuscule bikinis that I did not wear, just made them, and loved my job, and I actually worked with Kieran's sister, and she was in quality control, and I was a seamstress, and he came in to see his sister and the factory. And he was just over visiting before he was meant to go overseas for like ever, pretty much, over to England. And yeah, and I met him and we kind of just knew. And also my visa was running out. I was getting kicked out of the country in 3 weeks. So we joke that I needed a visa and that's why we got married. But yeah, he's my best friend and my visa.
Wait. So how did you stay after those 3 weeks? You didn't get married in 3 weeks.
No, we didn't. So we came, I had to leave the country physically within that time period.
So you left and came back?
Well, we came down to New Zealand so that I could get 3 more months in Australia because we both had ties and stuff. He had stuff he had to tie up as well. So then we came down for a week. We went back over. We got stopped at Border Patrol because they knew what we were up to. But they let us come in anyway. And then we got 3 more months over there. But we then came down here and I think we were married like a year after maybe. But we kind of just knew.
So would you say it was love at first sight the first time you saw him?
Yeah. Firstly. Really? Yeah.
So he just walked into this factory you were working at, and you're like, that's the guy?
Yeah. And his sister was trying to hook me up with him for ages. I'm like, I'm not interested.
Oh.
It's like, I'm just, yeah. Like, I'm not interested in anything because I'm about to get kicked out of the country. Like, I really need to sort my life out. And then he walked in, and yeah.
I guess, yeah, that's a good point. You don't want to start a major relationship because you're going to be leaving, right?
Yeah, I was in shambles. Like, just... because I didn't want to leave and I had a great life over there and I had a really good job and my job was fighting for me to stay and I was paying all this money to try to get visas to stay and stuff and nothing was kind of working out. So I was going to just come back to the States with my tail between my legs, but met Kieran and it wasn't just the sight, but we just hit it off right away.
So your friend had been talking him up before you actually met him?
Yes.
He was trying to get you guys together before you even met him?
Yeah. And they're like, she's like, you like all the same stuff, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, I'm not. No. Like, I've got a lot going on. There's no way. But yeah, I met him and it was just, it was cool. I've never felt that way before. And it was quite cool.
So I may be jumping ahead of myself here, and I apologize if this is well-known information, but how did you end up in Australia in the first place? I don't think I knew that story.
So I always surfed because we were down at the beach, but, small waves, whatever, but I loved it. And small East Coast waves. And it just resonated with me. But then I went to college and studied art. Really just to kind of go through the motions of studying and everything. Abroad program and was like, oh, this is my ticket. This is my ticket out to see the world and do something different. So I studied abroad and went over to, I was only supposed to be over there for a year in Newcastle, which is right outside of Sydney. And I was studying art and it was really interesting. They just put you, like slammed you in the middle of the year because our years are different, our school years.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it wasn't very welcoming. Like most of the classes were just college classes. You kind of just go on sight unseen, like you would anywhere. But with art classes, they just kind of said, here's where you'll be working. Gave me like no instruction, nothing. Everyone else was half a year ahead. They all knew each other really well. No one would talk to me. which I'm a pretty, like, I can make friends with a tree, you know? But yeah, no one would talk to me. Around this time, it was 9/11 just happened too. So when I did talk, certain people would just go on tirades or rants about, oh, you're American, you guys deserve this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well,
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was bad. It was interesting, though. It was interesting in the fact that I learned for the first time in my life, because I'd never been outside the States, that I believed that everyone loved Americans and that we helped the rest of the world. Like, just naivety. And that we go and save everyone and we're, you know, whatever. So I quickly found out that we're not really well received overseas. Even though I was very respectful to cultures and whatnot, because 9/11 happened, like, it was just very much so, like, I'd be on the train, and if I talked to my friend, then there would be strangers that would just unleash on their beliefs and stuff, and that America deserved it and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, but they're still people. They're people that died.
Yeah, that is surprising to me. I mean, I would expect that from maybe a country like Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, where we've we've had strife. But I mean, Australia is always, I guess I've just always considered them kind of, at least in foreign affairs, kind of neutral. I'm kind of surprised. Was that hard for you to take? I mean, because you're what, 19, 20 at this time?
Yeah, I was.
Culture shock, I would imagine.
It was. It was culture shock, and it was just... It was good in the sense of it was a big eye opener, and I learned a lot about the rest of the world very quick, you know. And because during the summers I worked in hostels, and so you would get people, travelers from all over the world. So it was quite interesting. It was like that was my first base experience. But then when I was working in the hostels, I got to learn a lot about people, which was quite cool and quite eye-opening. But yeah, especially in Byron Bay is a beautiful, so that's where I spent all my summers, is I would go to Byron Bay and work in hostels. And
what do you do at a hostel?
You just clean rooms and stuff. So you get free board and you clean rooms, and yeah, that's pretty much it. And you get to know like your other people that, cause you all share a room. There's like six of us. So we share this big dorm room. But yeah, it was quite wild times, but it's a beautiful, it's like one of the most beautiful towns in, Australia. So a lot of people flock to it. But yeah, so those were very formative years and eye-opening years. So Byron's a big surf town, so that's what drove me there. And then because of my art class and everything, I just had this big realization that I didn't want to take it any further. And I wasn't doing great in my class because I had no instruction. I didn't know, you know, like there was just, the teacher hated me, basically. Because of who I was, or where I was from. That's what I felt.
Oh, at the time. You feel like the teacher didn't like you or didn't give you a fair shot because you were American?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was directly related to 9/11, you think?
I don't know. I really don't know, because 9/11 happened after a few months after I was there.
Huh.
But it was very... kind of like, oh, you're just here for 6 months to have fun. You're not really here to learn. And you know what? Maybe that is true for a lot of students that came from overseas to do this year-long study abroad, was just an excuse to party and experience other places. But for me, I was actually there to learn, and he just did not like me at all. So I didn't do well in my classes. I called Dad. Or I talked to mom and dad and I said, look, I don't want to do this. And that was probably one of the hardest things ever, because I really felt like I was letting them down. But I just came to a realization. I'm like, look, I don't know what I'm going to do with art, and I'm not happy and I'm not in a good headspace.
So how far into your college career are you when you make this decision?
I think I was my second year.
I mean, so you gave it a fair shot.
Sort of.
Well, it wasn't like it wasn't like you did one term or anything, and then you're like, okay.
And then so after that, I said, look, I don't want to come home. I love it over here. And I decided what I want to do, and I want to go into fashion design. And so I found a school in Australia, up in Brisbane, that would take me, and it would be a 2.5 year course, I think. So I'd still be finishing up relatively around the same time I would have if I went through my 4 year college course. And it was way cheaper than coming home, even if I were to stay in my state school. So I kind of pitched it to them, and they were really receptive, which was amazing, because I thought they were going to just be like, Karen, come on, what are you doing with your life? Make a choice and stick to it. But yeah, so they were really good about it. And I did that, and it was awesome, and I loved it. And then I was in the fashion industry after that.
So how many years did you do fashion stuff?
So I did my schooling, and then that's when I ended up in Byron working at Wicked Weasel, which was the tiny bikini factory.
That was going to be my next question. So you did your schooling, you finished, yeah. Got it. Do you have a degree in fashion?
Yeah, in fashion design, yeah.
And then you just immediately go sew tiny bikinis?
Yes.
Awesome.
Which, being a tomboy, was like really quite hilarious, but it was an amazing company. It was in this little town that I loved, and it was awesome. And I would have still been working there today if I didn't get kicked out of Australia, because they were such an amazing company to work for. And they believed in me a lot too. And they wanted to move me up into different roles and stuff. And yeah, it just didn't work out, but that's okay. 'Cause now I have my own business and life is good.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your own business? I looked at your website just a little bit. So tell me what you do.
I restore my bulk of my business is restoring mid-century furniture. So, you know, furniture from just the 1900s, whatnot, whatever furniture. But yeah, I think, go ahead. It's
fashion adjacent, right? I mean, I assume there's some overlap in those skills, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I enjoy it thoroughly, because it's not fast fashion, and it's something that I can be proud of, because I'm restoring beautiful furniture. And yeah, a lot of it derives as well from having a love for op shops and stuff like that. From when I was a kid, before it was, you know, the thing to do. I always loved looking at 70s clothes or 60s clothes, and just everything. I felt like when I was younger that I was born in the wrong time period, because I just loved looking at all, you know, all the antiques, and they all told a story. And I just had a very romantic mind about things. Yeah.
So you have your own shop. You mentioned you were in your shop earlier. So I assume you have a shop on your property somewhere.
I do. So it's just right at the end of our driveway.
How big is your shop?
Oh, goodness. It is probably takes up the same amount of space as what would it be? Like a car and a half?
Okay. Shed? That's pretty good. Was that there when you guys bought the house, or did you build it?
Yeah. So we got real lucky on this property. It has a massive shed. So Kieran has 2/3 of it, which he has 2 hot rods in. And then I have 1/3 of it, which I have my shop in. And yeah, we got real lucky with this place.
Let's see. So we kind of already talked, what was your college experience like? It sounds like it was a little bit rough, but then you switch. So I think we covered that. Anything else worthy or interest story worthy about your college experience before we move on?
Yeah. I lived with a lady which I don't think I've ever told anyone in my family this, but I lived with a lady for the first year that I started fashion design, and lived off campus. I lived in her downstairs. She had a 2-story apartment, and I lived in the downstairs area, and we shared the kitchen and everything. She was an older lady, and I found out that she was probably, at the time, I was in my 20s, right? She was probably in her 40s to 50s. We got along really well, and sometimes we went out to lunch and stuff, and it was quite nice. I found out she was telling everyone that I was her daughter, and her husband, her ex-husband, was American, and I'd come over from America, and she had this elaborate story about me.
Wow.
And, yeah, and it got quite weird.
Yeah, is that creepy for you, or is that kind of, what's the...
Yeah, it got weird. Like, okay. it was fine. I found out all of this after the fact, right?
Okay. But
we had a good enough relationship, and I wasn't like going out partying and stuff like that. So it wasn't like I was a bad tenant or anything. Like I did go out and socialize, but I wasn't a bad tenant. And so one year after coming back, after that first year, I came back, from being away during the summer, working my summer job down in Byron Bay, which is 2.5 hours down south. I came back and she said, "You have to get out." I was like, "Okay. You had my number. It would have been nice if you told me, like, school starts tomorrow."
Yeah, really?
And so, yeah. And so she kicked me out and she said, "Oh no, like there was just too many complaints of loud music last year." And I was like, "I never played loud music." She's like, "No, it had to be you." So what I had come, I kind of put two and two together because there was college students that lived behind us in the complex and they used to play music, but it didn't bother me. But I believe that I got the blame for it because of how I looked and because I had tattoos and everyone else was kind of just looked very straight and narrow. I don't know if this is the case or if this is my own like inner problems, not problems, but yeah. So anyway, she's like, "No, you have to pack up and get out today." I was like, "Holy shit." Like nothing like that had ever happened to me where I was just kind of like felt so isolated on the other side of the world. And all I had, luckily I had my car. So I packed up all my stuff, put it all in my station wagon and drove down the road and like was so beside myself that I went to go do a U-turn and I came out of the gas station and I was driving the wrong way because you drive on the opposite side of the road over here in Australia. But because I was very shaken up, I started going towards traffic. Luckily, I could turn off and like that was all fine. I stopped and I kind of collected myself. But that was the most interesting thing that ever happened to me. And I found out after the fact that she was telling everyone all these things about me and that I was her daughter. And like, it was just a lot of things kind of came in line and I was glad to be out of there. Weird.
Why do you think she was telling people you were her daughter? Like, what did she get out of that?
I actually don't know. She had a lot of problems that she would talk to me about and I would listen. And I was very... I don't know. I guess I don't know if it's naive or I was very open and kind. And I think she kind of took, yeah, that to the next level with her mental problems.
Huh. Well, that's a weird, it's a good story, but a weird one for sure.
Very weird. Yeah. But yeah, so I sorted myself out and I actually went back down to Byron and stayed with friends and then drove back up the next day and sorted out a place to live and all that stuff. But yeah, that was the one story that really made me feel the most isolated and on the other side of the world.
Yeah. Cause you're away from your whole family and you get kicked. Yeah. Right. That's gotta be.
Yeah.
And you're how old at this time? Like 20?
Yeah. I was probably like 20, 21.
Yeah. That's kind of, yeah. That'll mess with your head.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought of this lady as, like, you know, a friend. But anyway, it was weird.
Well, but, I have 1.5 questions left, so...
Okay.
What was the worst thing you ever did to one of your siblings as a kid or that they did to you? Did you ever narc on any of them or, you know, steal your sister's clothes or, I don't know, anything, any good stories?
That's easy. no, stealing clothes. Sorry, that just reminded me of something Amy did. She borrowed one of my favorite shirts and then lost it at the lake where all the kids used to hang out. But that's a story for another time. No, I wasn't allowed to borrow Amy's clothes. But the worst thing I ever did, and I have such guilt for it, still to this day, is I can't remember why Aaron was pissing me off. But Aaron was really getting on my nerves one day. And, you know, we had rough and tumbles, and like James and Aaron used to, you know, I would say my mouth would get me in trouble a lot. So that, you know, I'd say something and they would just, you know, they'd go get their BB guns and just say like, start running and stuff like that. But I was the younger sister that got picked on, but I can't say I was innocent because I know I was very mouthy and, yeah, and a smart ass and not afraid. And so they used to gang up on me a lot. But I look back and I cherish those times. But the one time that it was Aaron and I, we were a bit older and honestly cannot remember what he was doing, but he pissed me off and I was like, right, I'm over this. And so he was just wearing shorts. It must have been summer, no top. And so he walked away and I was like, you're such a jerk. And I went and I had nails at the time.
Oh no.
And I scratched his back and instantly regretted it because he started bleeding and he started crying. And sorry that I said, you're crying, Aaron, if you're listening to this. And
it's
he started
okay. Aaron crying. Doesn't know what a podcast is. He'll never.
Yeah. Sure. He doesn't. And I just felt such guilt. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And like, he went to mom and we were older too. And like, he went to mom, never seen him cry. Not even when he was like broke his arm or like slit his wrist. He was never cried. And I was like, oh, I've really done it this time. And I got in trouble.
Was he crying because he was in pain or like he was like betrayed?
That's a great question. I don't know. I'd say probably in pain. Okay. I can't imagine it would hurt too much. I mean, there's just nails that he was bleeding. So maybe it was betrayal, which makes me feel worse. Oh. But yeah, so that was the one time that I did something that I really, really regretted and felt horrible about. But yeah. There's many times where I would do, you know, I'd be a smart ass or whatever. And then I'd run and lock myself in a room and Aaron and James would literally take off the doorknob.
Yeah.
And
right.
Like, and then if I started crying, they'd be like, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't tell mom. We'll give you a cookie. Just don't cry.
No, that sounds a lot like my 12-year-old. I have to tell him all the time. Don't poke your brother. Not like physically poke, like, but it's just always like little thing, you know, that's just what siblings do. Like he's always got to say something or I'm like, he's way bigger than you. Like he will crush you. Like just leave him alone. But you know, he can't not do it. Right. So
yeah.
I feel you. I see it every day.
Yeah. That was totally me.
So before I get to the last half of question, is there any other stories or anything else that I didn't ask you that I should have that you think is worthy? And if the answer is no, that's fine. I just want to give you the floor to.
Yeah. No.
Okay. No. So the last half question we came up with was, is there somebody in the family who has an interesting story that you think would be worth putting down or getting recorded? Is there a story you heard about one of your cousins or aunts and uncles? You're like, I wonder if that's really true. Is there something that is worth me asking? And again, if the answer is no, that's fine too.
I like that. It's a great question. Nothing that can come to the top of my head. I'm pretty excited to hear more about the older siblings, like dad and his sisters and brothers, like that, what kind of mayhem they got up to. Because I think dad's only just, like, as we've gotten older, he's only just told us, you know, started to tell us about all of his mayhem and trouble that he used to get into with cars and whatnot.
Okay, well, that's all I had thank you for doing this, and I'll get it cut and we'll put it up.
Thank you for doing this. This is awesome. It's been a pleasure.